Hi, everybody. This is Shelley H., and this is the Body Image Workshop. And I thought no better way to get us started is, first of all, to invite God in. And then we're going to take a deep breath, and we're going to hold it for four. And let it out for seven. And inhale for four. And exhale for seven. One more time. Inhale for four. And exhale for seven. Okay. I want to thank you all for being here. We will have three speakers. We're going to share for, I'm going to give a bunch of tools that some of you may have, and if some of you have gotten the tools that I sent out, but if you didn't, I'm going to go through them so you can get them. I sent out a lot of emails, and hopefully you all got them. And so, first of all, I'm going to tell you what it was like, what happened to change me, and what it's like now. And this is about body image. And this program is about, for me, Susie, could I have 7 minutes first and then five and five? Okay?
Seven, five, and five?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to try to get through this. Okay. This is about, for me, sitting with uncomfortability. And all the things that we learn in program is learning how to sit with this uncomfortability. Because modern medicine today is built on getting rid of pain, which is not the same as healing. Healing is actually the capacity to hold pain. And that's what we learn how to do here. And it's about relationship building, first with ourselves, with our sponsors, with our higher power, and with our body. And those two things are very important. I'm looking at my pictures, and I want to share that I was obese as a child. And I was shamed and teased, and I had stretch marks on my leg that somebody brought to my attention when I was young, and it was very, very hard. I was bullied. I was teased. I never felt good enough. I never felt worthy enough. And for those of you who are on this path and have not lost your weight yet, I also want you to know I have been anorexic and felt invisible in my lifetime. I was bulimic, and I was obese as an adult. My abstinence date is January 2nd, 2004, and I'm maintaining 28 pounds down this abstinence, 75 down from my known top, and up 10 from my known bottom. And I sponsor on all levels. And March 28th of this year will be 31 years since I've had to practice bulimia. And if I'm skipping around, I apologize. All right, so I'm looking through my pictures, and I remember as a child, as far as body shaming, because that's what this is about. You know, I told you about the stretch marks, but I remember being in my mother's room, and I saw her putting on a girdle. And just then, something clicked in me. I don't want my body to look like my mother's. And I said, excuse me, I'm not going to blame my mother on the way that my body looked. But I think all of this added up. All of this added up. And it never got better, even in recovery. And I had to work really hard. Because the recovery part is what I want to talk about, but I just want you all to be able to identify with me. I understand the pain. I understand what it's like to be overweight and hating myself. And I had to learn how, when I came in, I was asked by my therapist, what is your greatest attribute? And I said I had shiny hair. What? Throughout my time in program, I have learned to love myself today. But it's taken a lot of work. All of this comes with doing the work. Staying abstinent comes with doing the work. And having a relationship with my higher power and having a fellowship to back me. Throughout my recovery, I've always carried this, I'm fat, and I remember saying that to all my friends in program, and, you know, and they would look at me, and, you know, it's such a terrible feeling, even when I am fat, even when I was fat, because if your body, your head doesn't catch up with your body all the time. So you can have a thin body but a fat head, and they have to come together. And even if you are not at goal weight, which I found myself many times in this program, I had to find that place where I began to treat myself with kindness. And I'm going to talk about mindfulness and kindness. So, oh my goodness, I lost my place. And kindness. So I had a sponsor that told me to work the steps over my body image. So I did that, and I really, because I was so new and I didn't really understand the steps and I didn't really get it, and, you know, I did my best, and so that was the first step for me. And when the tools you're going to get from me today are far better, I believe, than any of the tools that I got in the beginning of this program. But everybody's path is different. Everybody's path is not the same. And I, you know, I'm an exerciser, and I remember, you know, not that long ago, I would be hiking, and I would be so, I had a fat head this morning, and I would make people take pictures of me so that I could see what I look like. And I remember going to events and to go and enjoy myself, and that fat head took over everything, that I couldn't be present and couldn't be with my friends. And I had people take pictures of me, but I was so anxious because I felt fat. I felt fat, and I felt ugly, and I felt fat. And like I said, I don't know how it started, but I, you know, my parents were compulsive eaters. And one day when I was hiking, I remember, you know, I was just having a horrible day, and I heard, and I've been working on this for a very long time, because I have two major goals. I don't want to suffer anymore, and I don't want to do more damage, and I work on those two things diligently, besides using the tools of this program. Those are two of my main goals, and so I really, you know, throughout this process of being kind to myself, to looking in the mirror and telling myself I love you, even though if it was painful, and just, you know, acknowledging my body and letting it be here and nourishing myself with healthy, weighted measure portions and making it colorful and attractive and knowing that I had other people to show me the way, and seeing all the recovery in the room and how many people went before me. And I'm just passing down what I've been given. I'm just a vessel for God. I'm not anybody special. All I want to do is be here and say what God has in store for me. And I pray that's what I'm continuing to do.
7 minutes. And
that's 7 minutes already? Okay, thank you. I'm glad, because I'm going to wind this up. When I was hiking, I heard a voice, and the voice said, because I was really in it, what are the qualities of who you are? And I started thinking about that. And that was the rest of my hike. And I have another worksheet that I do that teaches people how to love themselves, but if I have time, I'll show you. I'll teach you about that. And I say this mantra, show me how to love me like God loves me. Show me how to love me like God loves me. I did that way before I heard that voice. And so what I want to do today, I want to teach you some of the tools that I have used that have really helped and that will help, that I find to be very strong tools. And I'll go through them as best I can for those of you who didn't get them. This program is about the big book and the 12 steps, so I want to present a 12-step exercise. And you can use this not only with body image, but you can use this with other areas of your life. And it was passed down to me from, I've had it for many years. My sponsees all know about it, but I really am very passionate about this because it's such a powerful tool. You're going to identify a situation in your personal or work life that is currently a source of resentment, fear, sadness, anger. Write a brief statement and indicate how it affects your recovery or concerns you in another way. And if you miss anything, we will have questions and answers, but I'm going to go through the 12 steps very slowly. Number one, honesty. In what ways are you powerless over the situation? And how is it making your life unmanageable? For me, I know for me, the only power that I have is in my thinking. And so I had to change my thought. It was making my life unmanageable. I was obsessed about it. I was obsessed about it. Two, faith. What does sanity look like in this area? Faith. Well, step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And I, you know, I began to believe that, you know, what would it look like for me? I wouldn't have this emotion that would ruin my life or the moment that I'm in. That's what sanity looked like for me. And three, commitment. How does turning your life over to the care of God as you help you in dealing with this? I can't tell you how many times I've gotten on my knees and asked God to remove this because it was so painful, so painful. Four, courage. What character traits are standing in the way of your recovery with this problem? Is it fear of abandonment? Rescuing? Taking inappropriate responsibility? Not expressing feelings? For me, being so afraid to feel because I thought I was going to die. Self-pity. That's what it was, self-pity. Being so afraid, oh my God, if I feel I'm going to die, so I'll just eat. And so what I did, trust is five. Admit your wrongs to yourself and another human being. And that's what I did. I shared it with my sponsor. Six, willingness. Look at your defects. Identify the benefit you're getting from these. The only benefit, I wasn't getting any. I was just hurting myself over and over and over and over again. And I didn't want to do it anymore. Humility. Why don't you need to have these defects in your life today? I don't. There's so many other wonderful things in my life today. I want to be present. I want to enjoy what is beautiful. Responsibility. Make a list of all people that you have harmed. I have harmed so many people from all the events that I was invited to because I couldn't be present to my children, but mostly to myself. What amends are necessary? Nine, compassion. What amends are necessary? How and when can you make them? Most of the amends is to myself. 10, integrity. Review the steps to make sure nothing has been overlooked. And that's what I did. And that's what I continue to do. And 11, patience. Take a moment for prayer and meditation. Asking for knowledge of God's will for you. What did you discover? What did you discover? And just, even if it's for that moment, I could have space from the emotion. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we carry the message to other compulsive eaters and practice these principles in all our affairs.
That's five.
Okay, perfect. All right, the last one I'm going to talk about, I'm trying to move through this because I want my other speakers to go. This is about mindfulness. And I just want to make sure I have all my notes here. Okay. And I'm missing a page, but I'll deal with it. Well, emotions are like weather patterns. They're coming and going. And a lot of times we can be lost in the past or the future. But we can let them go. Once we are aware and understand that there's changing natures, our emotions are changing like the clouds in the sky. But once we become aware of them and letting them go and letting them move through us like weather patterns, they are very powerful, very powerful. So I'm going to talk to you about an acronym called RAIN. And I'm going to repeat this twice. I'll do an overview. One, recognize. Once you check and see what is happening in your body, is it fear? Is it sadness? Is it irritation? Giving it a label, being mindful of it, takes the power away. Allow. Let the emotion be here. It's okay. We all have them. We all have felt rage. We've all felt compassion. But how we can be present with it and allow ourselves to have it, it's okay. I investigate. And, you know, it's not, oh, I bumped my head when I was 5 or I saw my mother putting on a girdle. That's not what this is. You investigate in your body at this moment. My heart is racing. My pulse, my head is racing. But not to be so caught up in it. N, not identify. You may not like it, but you don't have to take it so personally. It is an emotion, not your emotion. It's not always going to be there. So you don't have to get caught up in it. You can have some space. There's some fear here. There's some grief here. But I can be okay in the midst of it. Nurture yourself. You can be kind and compassionate with ourselves in the midst of this emotion because it is going to go away. Okay, I know that's a lot to take in, and I'm going to just repeat it one more time. But I find mindfulness really, really, and you can do this in the form of a meditation. You can do this while you're, I'll give you an example. The other day I was at the doctor and I felt fat. And what happened was I used RAIN. Oh, I feel fat. Oh, I realized I'm scared. I'm scared because I may have to get a shot and I don't like shots. I acknowledged it. It moved through me. I nurtured myself, and I was able to move on. So there's an example. So I'm going to go through it really fast one more time. I hope everybody's catching on, and if not, you can answer questions. Okay, first of all, recognize the emotion. Is it sadness? Is it jealousy? Is it grief? Allow this emotion to be here. You may not like it, but sit with the uncomfortability. Allow. Just allow it. Sit with it. I'm going too fast for myself. Allow. Sit with it. Let me start over. Recognizing it, allow it to be here. Allow it to be here. Investigate what you feel in your body. Oh, my jaw's tight. My fists are clenched. What are you thinking about? And sometimes when I'm really anxious, or really have that motion, I'll go to my hands or feet, and where there's no tension, and I'll put my mind there, and it will help relax me. And not identify. That's N. Not identify. Give us some space and realize it's the emotion, not my emotion. Anyways, on that note, I'm going to pass. And I'm going to let our next speaker speak. And Jerry, do you want to, you're next. Do you want to talk to Susie and let her know what it is that you want to do for your time?
Hi, Shelley. This is Jerry, and yes, I can do that.
Okay.
And okay. Is it 10 minutes or 15 minutes?
15 minutes. I took a little more time because I had all those things I wanted to present, you know, because I have at other workshops, and these are the ones that people have liked the most. That's why I gave these out. So go ahead and do 15 minutes would be okay. Whatever you want to do, you just tell Susie, okay?
Okay. Susie, okay. If you can give me a five-minute warning and a one-minute warning.
Okay.
Thank you. I don't know that I'll speak for that long, but I'll do my best. This is Jerry in Seattle, Washington, and I'm a compulsive eater. I have an abstinence date of February 4th, 2008, and currently maintaining a 70-pound weight loss in Seattle, and down about 90 pounds from my top weight. And my recovery started with me, I was pretty broken and just really on my knees, had been completely humiliated, which that's what it took for me to get to recovery. And I'm so grateful that I went through that now. I look at how my life has evolved and how things have changed for me. And it started with me losing my job, being terminated, and certainly that got my attention. And I got to see how about 6 weeks after that, my sponsor in another program brought me to to my first CEHOW meeting, and I heard my story there, and I haven't left. I haven't left ever since. I got a really tough sponsor, and she had everything I wanted. She looked great in a skirt. She had a great career going and everything that I wanted. She was really tough, though, so I'm really grateful for her teaching me the ropes at that point and just really telling me how it was. And I was desperate enough at that point. I just did everything she said. And it's really paid off for me, having a really solid foundation in the program and working the tools every day. That's what's really worked for me. So I want to mention, it took me about 2.5 years to take off that 70 pounds. And in the course of that time, working the steps, we get to, identify what were the things that we were eating over, and, especially working step three, taking the inventory, being able to learn how to forgive, and taking the inventory, turning it over to my sponsor, just naming off all, the people that I've harmed. And as I forgave myself and was able to let those things go, the weight started coming off. And, of course, like was mentioned earlier, my head had to catch up. And so I think in that first 2.5, 3 years, there was a time that I still felt like my body was quite large, as I started out, but my head hadn't caught up. So even when I think about it now, and I would walk through a doorway, if someone else was there, I would try to make myself smaller. And I already had a smaller body, but my brain didn't register it until quite a while later. So just really, I've had to work on that, realizing that I wasn't taking up so much space. And just really, being conscious and mindful of where I am today. Accepting that my body, as I've lost the weight, it wasn't going back to the way it was when I was 20. It's just the reality, and it's been okay, and it's, dealing with the different things, my sponsor guided me to use, supportive undergarments, which are very helpful, and so I recommend those things that, to folks that, that might be having a hard time with some loose skin or things like that. But I think just the main thing, too, I want to convey is learning how to be kind, gentle, and patient with myself. That was one of the biggest lessons, you know, just, you know, but also realizing I wasn't running a race. I mean, it did take me 2.5 years. The weight came off slowly, but I think, too, that, that helped my body to kind of adjust to, you know, the new size. So I didn't have quite as much loose skin as maybe another person, but I still have it, and I'm grateful for it today. And then, let's see, so I started my recovery in 2008. I didn't do a whole lot of heavy exercise like some people do. I did a lot of walking, and I like to carry weights, and that was certainly very helpful for me during that weight loss period. So fast forward a few years, I got married, which was another miracle in my life with the recovery. And, you know, so before, I wouldn't let anybody near me. And so part of the healing process, you know, forgiving myself, learning how to love myself, I was able to get married in 2013. And in 2015, I came upon, you know, the idea that I wanted to go and start an exercise class, you know, and there's all these different ideas out there. Different types of dance, and Zumba was one of them I looked at, but there's a belly dance class near where I live, and so I went and I just, without meeting the teacher, I just went and signed up for 3 months, and just told myself, I'm going to this class, and I committed to it. Once I paid for it, I was going. So I started going to this class, and I fell in love with the dance, belly dancing. And belly dancing welcomes everyone from, you know, all sizes, all ages. I mean, there's just no one is left out when it comes to belly dancing. And you know, you can be just any size, any weight. It doesn't matter. The dance welcomes everyone. So I just felt like I belonged right away. And my teacher, again, this teacher, my dance teacher is very strict, just like my first sponsor in C-House. So it was like, oh, okay, you know, this familiar type of personality. I need this person to, you know, to help me through this. So she's been great and has really, you know, just really sparked my interest. And it's helped me so much I want to mention that when I first started the class, she was like, okay, we're going to do these belly rolls, you know, and of course people think, you know, ab muscles, you know, that's something that we probably don't really think about when we're that we can exercise when we're losing weight, but, yeah, I have ab muscles today. It's kind of incredible because she just started off saying, okay, we're going to do these belly rolls. And, I can do belly rolls today. And at first when she suggested it, I said, well, I don't have ab muscles. I don't think I can find them. And she's like, oh, yeah, we're going to find them. They are there, you know. So I think that was just something that was really surprising. I found myself doing. And over the course of the past few years, I started in 2015, and I think 2017 was the first time I attended the C-HOW convention and was able to do a solo dance on the stage, which I never imagined I would do. And I got a really great recognition for that doing it. And it's not so much about you know, showing off my weight loss. It's about sharing the joy of the dance and the creativity that goes into it. So that's something that's helped me tremendously. And I just really try to encourage people, you know, even if they're kind of shy, to try it. And I realize it might be a regional activity in some ways, too. Here in the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of belly dancing, and I think also in California and Oregon, but maybe not so much in the rest of the country, but any kind of dance that sparks your interest, I encourage you to please just give it a chance. You just never know. It may bring some joy into your life that you never thought possible. So, Yeah, I want to encourage everyone, you know, and it doesn't matter what your body size or type is, you know, maybe, you know, you're still feeling kind of hesitant about it. And I was too, but I just can't say enough about how much dancing, and you know, yeah, dancing has helped me tremendously. So yeah, I just want to encourage everyone. You know, it could be Zumba, it could be, you know, line dancing, it could be anything, you know, but if you don't give it a chance, you won't know. So I'm really grateful that the program and recovery has helped me to, you know, to get to that point where I could accept myself, you know, where I'm at, and, you know, my body's not exactly where I would hope it would be, but, you know, it's okay today. I'm really grateful. I get to enjoy things that I never thought possible, and I think that's true for a lot of people that, you know, that stay in the program and just work this one day at a time. That's all we get.
I mean,
thank you, Susie. So, yeah, I just, that's how I look at it is, you know, the dance is, it's an art form, and I get to share it with others. And, you know, as I get on the stage and I show people how much I'm enjoying myself, I mean, they hopefully enjoy themselves as well. And I get to share what I've learned. So, trying to think of something else I can say on that point, but yeah, I think just really, really the message I want to convey is learning to be kind, gentle, and patient with ourselves, you know, and if I can do that, I can then be kind, gentle, and patient with others, and hopefully be a good example of recovery. That's really what I want to do. Yeah, and let's see, my thoughts are, this exercise that Shelley has shared with us, it's very valuable in helping us to examine where we are and how we can continue to grow, because that's what recovery gives us, the gift of, you know, we get to, you know, a point and we, you know, maybe we're doing our journaling, we're looking at, you know, different parts of different steps, different traditions, and we get to continue to grow and learn about ourselves and what we can do and just continue growing in the program. So I think that's all that I have. I will go ahead and pass for the next speaker. If
Maggie? Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, Maggie, you're on. You want work it out with Susie, okay?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
If I have 15 minutes, I'd like 10 and 4 and 1.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Maggie. I'm a compulsive eater. I live in Santa Clarita, California. That's the southern part of California. I'm 52 years old. I know that doesn't matter too much, but I just want to give a point of reference to my age. And my abstinence date, recommitted abstinence date, is May 21st, 2017. And I'm very grateful to Shelley for putting this together, and I'm honored to be asked to share a little bit of my story. I believe I was born a compulsive eater. I remember at a young age, and it's such a profound memory to me, starting to compare myself with other kids in about the first or second grade. And if we were at recess at school and we got in trouble for talking during class, we would have to be benched at recess. And I remember sitting next to my friend Suzanne, who was like a miniature person, and I envied her so much. She was so small, and we would wear shorts, and we would sit on the bench, and my my size seemed to be about twice the size of hers. And I just remember starting that comparison and the kind of the self-loathing and not understanding how that was or why that was, but just wishing that my legs were as small as Suzanne's. I think that even though I was compulsively eating at that age, I was bigger than a lot of my class, but I can't say that I was really even overweight. I'm not sure. But that's where it started. And when I got into high school, of course, I had friends that appeared to be normal eaters and normal sizes, and I would try to look like them. I would try to dress like them. I would try to eat what they ate. And, as I got older, those things just stayed with me, that wish. I wish I was smaller. Maybe when I wake up tomorrow, I will be smaller. It was almost a fantasy that I lived in, never knowing that it would take a decision and effort to be able to be normal body weight. And so that's what we're talking about, to be the weight that my doctor says is a healthy body weight, because I don't even like to say normal. And, I started going to the doctor because I was starting to have medical problems from my weight, and that was in my, early 40s, and I would go, and they would want me to go onto the scale, and I began to tell them, I'm going to get on the scale, you write down the number, but I won't look. I was just in complete denial of how I was eating, and if you asked me, I would say that I eat like a bird, and I would believe that, and that's how I ate in front of you. Of course, at home, it was a different story, but my top weight is 260 pounds. I'm down about 105 pounds from my top weight. That was a process. And what happened for me was I found compulsive exercise before I found the program. I found hiking, and what hiking did was I would hike every day. If I didn't hike, I would feel bad when I ate. If I hiked, it would be permission for me to eat. And I found program. I first found Overeaters Anonymous, and I had a food program similar to what we do in CEA How. And about 3.5 years into that recovery from food, I found that I needed more. I needed and wanted more. And I had met people that were in CEA. How I started to go to the CEA How meetings, and I got a sponsor, and I became abstinent in the CEA How program. So through the process from, through that first compulsive exercise, then I accepted that I had an addiction to food, and then I came to CEA How, and I got to a healthy body weight. And then what I had left was, the skin. And what bothered me the most, I'm going to try to move quickly through this, what bothered me the most about the way that I looked, now I was happy, but I still had that comparison. And it was the skin on my neck, and I had had a couple of plastic surgeries. I had had a breast reduction at my top weight. I had an arm reduction. When I was in Overeaters Anonymous, I was asked to be in a friend's wedding, and I thought, I need to fix these. And the process through that was, you know, again, like going to sleep and waking up beautiful. That's what I wanted. That's what I thought. I would go to sleep and I would wake up skinny. Those were my hopes and my dreams. And so now I'm in CEA Howe, and I want my chin fixed. I wanted a facelift. And the rest of it didn't really bother me. I went in search of a doctor to perform this, and each doctor that I went to, they said, well, why aren't you interested in a tummy tuck? Why aren't you interested in a lower body lift? You know, why do you want to fix your face? And I began to investigate that part, and when I settled on the surgery that I would have, what I had was a lower body lift, a tummy tuck. They took some fat from my lower back and put it into my butt, and then sewed a new butt surfaces for me, creating a butt curve where it was just, you know, from my waist, it went down to my leg. And I had this procedure done. I was ready. I had talked to sponsor about this. I had, you know, announced it, and I went under the knife, and I woke up, and I, of course, was in a lot of pain. It's a lot of cutting for one surgery. They did this outpatient surgery, so I went home that day. And little by little, I got better. And I can't say whether I was happy about it or not happy about it. I was just going through it. It was tough. I was on phone bridge meetings. About 2.5 weeks post-surgery, I went to my doctor and I said, I think I have an infection. And, you know, the dialogue around this conversation with my doctor is too much to go into. He sent me home, and I believe that was on a Wednesday. On a Saturday morning, I woke up and I felt like I had a little bit of a fever, and I called the doctor and he said, meet me in the emergency room. I went to the emergency room and they immediately admitted me into the hospital for a MRSA infection. And this was an infection that after testing, they figured that I acquired while I was at home. So it wasn't anything that I had gotten from the surgical room. But needless to say, I was sick. My blood pressure was plummeting. They were talking about doing blood transfusions. And I felt like I was in and out of being coherent and present. The next day, they reopened my wounds, my surgical sites, and it's called a clean and debris. They had to clean everything. So I was reopened up and restitched up, and the whole process was terrifying. Absolutely.
Admitted.
Thank you so much. I was in the hospital for 9 days, and I have to tell you, I couldn't stop crying for the first 7 of those days. I cried because I thought that I had let my ego decide that this was a good idea. I cried every day. I hated myself. I hated myself for putting my life at risk for the way that I looked. Why couldn't I be happy with what I had? And, when I came home, I have to say, the amazing thing was I remained abstinent through the whole thing. And that's not really amazing. I was so sick. But I kept my abstinence close to me. When I got home after the 9 days, I still stayed home for 2 weeks after that. I was on intravenous antibiotics twice a day. I had a home health person coming over and hooking me up to an IV, and I became getting grateful. I got to the gratitude part where I'm alive. I started walking. I started, you know, doing outreach calls again. So I know I'm almost out of time. I could say so much more about this. The moral of the story is there is no, you know, there is no answer there. It's just a story of what I went through and how sick I became. You know, for me, this is for me, ego is a hallmark of this disease. Last year, I went to the convention, and it was the third year of going to the convention, and I was working at the literature booth, and a woman came up to the literature booth. I'm not sure who she is or what her name is, but, you know, the big obsession for me, going back, something that I didn't have cut was my legs. And so even with all of this surgery that I had, yes, you know, my stomach's flat. You know, it might look like I've been doing sit-ups for 20 years, but my legs still really bother me at times. I pray about it. I turn it over. But this was a small miracle. I'm at the literature booth, and a woman walks up, and she's wearing not a short skirt, but a skirt that reveals, you know, her legs from right above the knee, and her legs look just like mine. For me, you know, my skin is loose. Not only did I was obese, but I had a lot of swelling in my ankles that went up to my knees at times. And a lot of my skin is stretched out in my calves and even in my feet. And this woman came up at the convention. She had legs just like mine look. And she was walking it. She was accepting it. And I thought at that moment, that will be me next year. I will not cover my legs next year at the convention. I will wear shorts or a skirt and let everybody see, because that's the beauty that we have with CEA. How is that? There's somebody on this line that knows exactly what I'm talking about. And so I think that's my time. I know I'm not supposed to give my phone number, but I don't know.
No, you have one more minute. You have one more minute, Maggie. Yes.
Okay, one more minute. I came across this in some old literature that was given to me recently. I don't know where this came from, so I don't know if it's the EA how approved. However, it was in a bunch of CEA how literature. I'm going to read it real quick. It's the pre-scale prayer to be read aloud every time you weigh yourself just before you step on the scale. Lord, please lift away this obsession with thinness and my weight. I know I am exactly where and what I should be right now in my life and my program. As I work the steps and learn to turn more of my life over to your care, I know you will help me to reach a healthy, normal weight. I cannot rush this. Please make me willing to be patient. Please help me follow instructions. Help me to concentrate on what is essential in this program, to see things in the proper perspective, to do what is asked of me by those who wish to help me and who have my best interests at heart. Help me to learn the lessons that you want me to learn and to keep my focus on you and the 12 steps instead of the scale. Please lift the power of the scale from my life even as you are lifting the power of food. Let me worship only you instead of those false gods, thinness and food. Amen. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
I want to thank Susie for timing. And most importantly, I want to thank my other speakers, Jerry and Maggie, for a wonderful, wonderful lead. At this point, I'm going to open up the workshop for questions. And you will have a two-minute share, and then Susie will give you a warning, and then you'll wrap it up in 1 minute. Please be mindful of her voice, and please stop at the end of the time so we can get as many questions, if there are any, out there. All right. So, okay, I'm opening up the floor for questions. Do we have any? Please, star six.
I have a question.
Okay,
I have
go
a
ahead.
Question for Shelley.
Okay, who are you?
I'll pass on that one. On Shelley's share, she had one word for the steps on number 5 and number 12. I didn't get those one word descriptions, and I'd just like that answered, please. Thank you. I pass.
What's your name?
She doesn't want to
Are
give her name. Yeah.
Are you ready for another question? Hello? Can you hear me?
This is Shelley H. I'm going to give you an answer to that question. And I have to personally look up the 12-step exercise because I don't have the last one. Okay. Number 5 is trust. Admit your wrongs to God, yourself, and another human being. And 12 is service. How can your understanding and spiritual guidance assist you in dealing with this problem? How can working with others help you with this problem? Okay, next question.
I'm Deidre. I'm a compulsive eater. I'd like to ask you a question if I can.
Please.
Okay, I have gotten down to my goal weight, but I struggle with how I look and sometimes will not eat, like, almost like I'm becoming anorexic, and I'm real careful not to, but I really have a hard time accepting the way I look, and the way I look is honestly I'm a size 6. I'm fine how I am, but I'm having a real tough time accepting that this is good. I look at myself in the mirror, and I think I'm still 70 pounds heavier like when I started the weight loss. And I'll listen off the line. Thank you.
This is Shelley H., and I'll speak to that first. That's what this workshop is about. That's what these tools are about. And I want you to know, most importantly, you are not alone, that a lot of us in program have this disease, including myself, and that's what I shared about. And hopefully some of these tools will help you. Do any of any other speakers, I mean, I have struggled with this, as I shared in my speech, and the best way to deal with it is to work through it and just keep practicing and keep, like, this 12-step exercise, this RAIN, prayer, going to meetings, talking about it on your outreach calls. Jerry or Maggie, do you want to speak to any of that? Did I leave anything out?
This is Maggie.
Okay, go ahead, Maggie.
Thanks, Shelley. I just want to say that the best thing that I can do is surround myself with people that are like me and to use the food plan for me as it is laid out. And some, you know, that includes down to weighing and measuring. When I seem to do that, when I seem to have those days, everything else can be in chaos like it is in our world right now. But I know that my food's okay. I know for a fact that my food is okay. But to also, in outreach calls and in face-to-face meetings or phone bridge meetings, to be able to talk with people and to say, you know, what about my weight? What about my body? And to hear that we have a community of people that think and feel the same way that we do, and to know that that's okay, is the best that I can do, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Maggie. That was great. remember, here in this program, like I talked about at the beginning, it's about learning how to sit with the uncomfortability. And that's what all this is. All these feelings of feeling fat, when you really get down to it, recognize what the emotion is and then work through the emotion. And yes, we're so lucky that we have a tribe, a fellowship of people that we can talk to and outreach. Not everybody has that. Not everybody has the tools that we have. We have people that have tools do much better than people that don't. Use the tools. Make your outreach calls. Use the 7 tools. Jerry, do you want to speak to anything that, do you want to add?
Hi, Shelley, this is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Yes, I think, you know, acceptance is not an easy place to get to. I certainly agree. Acceptance of, you know, our bodies, you know, where we get to when we do reach our goal weight, it's not an easy thing to get to. And I think, you know, I shared for myself, you know, finding something that I enjoy and accepting my body as it is, you know, with its limitations, and it's certainly not perfect. I think another key thing that I want to point out is not comparing ourselves to others, and it's not an easy place to get to. I can say for sure myself, you know, when I stopped comparing my body to others and just stayed in the present moment and being grateful where I'm at, you know, and in maintenance, and maintenance is not that easy. Trying to stay, you know, within that, you know, 5 to 10 pounds is certainly challenging. But making adjustments as I'm getting older, you know, taking things out if needed, and you know, and just accepting that, you know, I'm not able to have that grain that my food plan allows me to have, you know, and just I think things like that, you know, and of course, you know, accepting my body where I'm at. But yeah, dancing has certainly been a really great, I guess, just another level of awareness for me that, you know, I'm able to do this. And yeah, that's right. I just try to make that a good example for others and to help me to stay in the moment and focus on the dance. So I think that, yeah, getting to that point of acceptance with our bodies and where we're at in our weight, it does take work. But, you know, this program, it's one day at a time. It's, you know, it's having the willingness to try something new. I just still want to encourage people, if there's something you're interested in, you know, don't ignore that little, you know, kind of hint that you're getting that, oh, that would be fun, you know, don't pass up on an opportunity if you have an opportunity where you live. And
1 minute.
Thank you, Susie. It's just really changed my life and my perspective by doing something. And, of course, doing it, you know, dancing in a group, not just by myself. It's really kind of gives me that feeling like I belong. I belong to a dance troupe, and we get to go and perform. Sometimes we go to retirement communities and dance for the residents, or we'll go to a festival and get to dance together. And we're all different sizes, and it's okay, and we're doing it for fun, and, you know, for fun and for free, and it's really quite a joy for me. So I think that's really all I can share. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jerry. I just want to finish one more thought. Learning how to be kind. Remember what I said at the beginning? Learning how to be kind to yourself is really an important part of this journey. A really important part. So, and I wanted everybody to write down 3 goals before I started, and I forgot. So if you could, you know, I want, even if it was just learning a tool or learn something new, I'm so sorry I forgot to do that. And And anyways, you can if you want to, but anyways, I'm going to move on. Next question, I think I heard Bryce first. Go ahead, Bryce.
Yes, this is Bryce. I have a question maybe for all three of you, maybe especially Maggie. I've had 9 or 10 surgeries because I was really injured, and I've been in recovery more than one way in this 5.5 years of absence I've had. And the last thing they did for me after 7 years of being in pain, they put a bionic transmitter in my back, and it's removed all my pain and all my funny business from a fourth of my body, which the pain was taxing, having to take a 2-hour nap, having to go to bed 2 hours early. It's all gone. It's like a miracle. So I'm sitting on the starting blocks wanting to work out and everything else, and they've shut the university down for the next Monday and Tuesday, but I'm very fit, very physically fit now, but would like, as part of my body imaging, to get my body back in shape to what it knew before I got injured. But whoever wants to answer anything like that, I'm happy to listen.
Well, I think that Bryce, and for everybody, and even the last question, remember, all we have to do is take it one day at a time. You are where your feet are. And your journey is going to be your own, and just take it one day at a time. And listen, you know, I'm a firm believer as a past medical professional that you should seek outside help. Outside help is really important. So, Bryce, speaking to your question, I believe that outside help is the best answer for you, in my mind. Girls, did you want to speak to that at all, or are we going to leave it there?
Hi, Shelly, and hi, Bryce. Hi, it's Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say some of the best thoughts that I can have for myself is, does everything work to its best of its ability today, and am I moving my body in the best way? And like Jerry talks about her belly dancing, which I love that, such bravery that I strive for to be able to do what you can physically without hurting yourself physically. And for me at 52, I still hike. I don't hike compulsively anymore, but I use my body to the best of its ability. Do I have plans on going to hike Mount Everest or even Mount Baldy? No, but am I able to hike on the 10 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail that are close to me on an occasional basis? Yes, I can do that. I know. So it helps with my body image, and I've shared this in meetings, is that although I look at my legs sometimes with disdain, they carry me up great mountains. They function the way that they're supposed to at this stage in the game, and I'm happy. So, you know, I mean, the goal of our program is to have a clear head and to, of course, be at a healthy body weight. And so I try to take that component out of it. Not how does it look, but how does it work? And I don't know if that helps at all. With that all passed, I hope that helped somebody. Thank you.
Yes, I'm happy to
Thank
hear
you,
that.
Meg.
Happy to do whatever my body can do, and I am under medical treatment twice a week. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes.
Like, you have medical issues, so just make sure you check everything with your doctor, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Thank
You're
you,
You're welcome.
Shelley.
You're welcome.
Hi. Hi, this is
Ginny.
This
is Lucille. May I speak?
I heard Ginny, I think, is that I heard
it's
two
people. It's Danny, and if the other
Danny,
one
Danny,
go
ahead. First.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Ginny in St. Pete, Florida. I would like to know about aging, specifically body image with aging. I'm 74 now. I came in the program when I'm 68, and I look younger than I did 10 years ago. Really, it's amazing, but wrinkles and the normal sagging and the everything is dropping, and I just hate it. I'm not on the vain side, so my appearance was always important to me, even as a child. This is very hard to see myself in the category of women in their mid-70s. And I don't like it. I want to know how anybody overcomes that hump. Thank you. This is a wonderful workshop. I appreciate it.
This is Shelley H. I'll speak to that. I'm the oldest one in the group. I'm 67. I'm not your age. But I will tell you that I have, and I heard Maggie speak about this too, with the way my body changes, I've had to go more inside and deal with the qualities of who I am. And I'm going to throw this exercise out there, because people are like begging for it, and I'm a tool girl. It's just the way I am. And what I did was I have this little exercise, and it goes like this. I'm not perfect, but I'm abstinent, and I'm kind. And then the next day I go, I'm not perfect, I'm abstinent, I'm kind, and I'm beautiful. The next day, I'm not perfect, but I'm abstinent, I'm kind, I'm beautiful, and I'm loving. And I did that for 30 days, and sometimes just doing that exercise helps me focus, as my higher power told me when I was hiking that day. Look at the qualities of who you are. And you only have to do this one day at a time. You know, the vanity I know for me is my ego. And I know I bring a lot to the table. I know that today. And then I do this mantra, show me how to love me the way God loves me. And I have had to change my food and cut back things throughout my my abstinence, and I've maintained the same weight for many years now. And some days it's good enough, and some days my head says, my head is not in, I have to have a head and a body in recovery, and sometimes they don't match up that day. And I just, you know, they say go through it gracefully. I don't want to fight myself anymore. I don't want to suffer anymore. And that's how I had to make a conscious decision. Thank you, Susie. Not to suffer anymore. That's one of my major goals. So I invite you to try that exercise, and I invite Jerry or Maggie to speak to that, please. Okay, I don't hear anything from the girls, so let's move on.
This is Maggie.
Okay, go ahead, Maggie.
Just to say really quick, I have two grandchildren. My grandson is 3 years old, and I spend a considerable amount of time with him, and he does not care at all what I look like. And to put myself into his shoes at the age of 3, to know that when he's with me, he's cared for and he's loved and we have fun. So with Shelley's prayer to, you know, love me the way that God loves me. And I can put that into my grandson's eyes and think of it the same way, you know, to think of myself the way that my grandson thinks of me is just another tool. He does not care what I look like. And to live in that world. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Maggie.
Jerry, did you want to say anything, honey?
Oh, I'll pass. Thank you, Shelley.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, who was next before Adele? I heard somebody else's voice.
This is Lucille. I'd like to ask the question.
Go ahead, Lucille, please.
Thank you for this workshop. I really appreciate it. I deal with a situation where I had cancer 5 years ago, and I was put on medication, which brought back all of my weight. I was told by the doctor it would only be 15 to 20 pounds, and in actuality, it's much more. I've gained all the weight back that I lost. I was at my goal weight for more than 2 years at the time that I got the cancer. Fast forward to this past June, I sought out another doctor, and I was told that, this medication causes weight gain and difficulty to lose the weight. And the doctor said that this particular medicine could be in my cells the rest of my life. So I actually go through a situation where I'm tearing myself apart, and it's very painful. And I've heard other speakers today go through pain also, and on their walks. I wanted to know if anybody else has experienced this weight gain with medication. I know steroids do cause weight gain, and you know, what has been done to address it? Thank you.
All right. This is Shelley H., bulimic compulsive eater in recovery. I can talk about that. I have hypothyroidism, and I also had a breakdown, and they put me on medication, and I did gain weight. And sometimes when they drop my thyroid medication, I had weight changes, maybe a couple of pounds, and it was very painful, but it was more important to have my sanity. And I'm sorry that you have to go through this. I mean, that's really, really tough. But for me, and I know other people in this situation who have had life-threatening illnesses, and for me being alive and enjoying my grandchildren and my life is much more important than the weight could ever be. And hopefully something that I said, I would say to seek outside help and work with a therapist that works with eating disorders would be a good step. Finding outside interests, that's about all I can think of. I'm just grateful for you that you have your health back, because that's more important to me than anything. So, Maggie, and thank you for being so courageous and sharing that with us. Maggie or Jerry, do you want to address that at all?
Hi, this is Jerry, and yes, I can say that I also, I'm taking a steroid medication for asthma, and I've seen, yes, it does cause some weight gain. Luckily, it hasn't been that much, but yeah, I also kind of chalk it up to my, you know, getting closer to menopause. I'm 48 years old. I got to this program when I was 36. And yeah, I've seen some changes, and you know, as I've gotten older, and luckily my sponsor guides me in that, and I don't have everything that you know is spelled out on the food plan. My food plan is very similar to what the first 30 days food plan is, so or you know, somewhere along those lines. So yeah, I think that just making those adjustments were needed. Yeah, and taking out some foods as I've gotten older, finding that, you know, I can't tolerate things as well as I used to. So it's probably one of the more difficult things to you know, having to say goodbye to some things that I've enjoyed. But, yeah, you know, and being okay with that. But for the main thing is being comfortable in my own skin and accepting where I am today. So I hope that's helpful. Thank you for letting me share.
And, you know, I just want to throw one more thing. Making outreach calls and talking to people about this is a really good thing to do. And remember, you only have to do it one day at a time. But outreach calls, talk to people, talk to your medical professionals. And use the 12 steps to help you through the emotions. Maggie, did you want to say anything to this to her?
This is Maggie. I just want to relate to it that last year I was put on a medical abstinence for some abdominal problems that I was having. Not the same. And I'm glad that you're sharing and asking questions about this, but it did affect the number on the scale. But I had to remember that this was what the medical professionals advised that I do with the food that I was eating, and I did it for a while. My problem was eventually alleviated through other steps that I took, and I went back to the CEA Health Program as it is written. But with me too, the older I get, my food plan today looks much like the first 30 days, and so yes, I want to say me too. It's okay, and to talk about it and share about it, and I'll pass.
Adele, did you have a question?
Yes. Thanks, everybody, for mm-hmm. the workshop. Mm-hmm. I forgot what you said in the rain. What was the N? What did the N stand for?
Not identify and nurture yourself.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Next question.
I'd like to, it's Suzanne, not so much a question, but just share on what's been said so far, if I may.
Please, go ahead, Suzanne.
Thank you. I've been here a long time. I had not gotten the goal weight, and I'm holding on to a lot of weight, though I did have some physical recovery, and I had to seek outside help for two issues, and I had sought outside help, and I didn't get any answers, and someone came up to me that knew me and said, would you consider seeing this doctor, and he diagnosed me with two separate issues, and I did get medical help for those two issues, and one of them was getting a dietitian because of three issues, the compulsive eating, although that was not the major issue why I got the dietitian, but the two other issues, and I did get on medication for my thyroid, and I was getting married, you know, and I remember I went to get the fitting for the wedding dress. And the one seamstress said to me, you better go on a crash diet. And I was horrified for a second, and I just said no. And the other seamstress came in and said, she was horrified. She says, please do not do that. And she had seen people go on crash diets and actually pass out when they're getting fitted for the wedding dress. Well, I did lose 20 pounds before my wedding, and I lost another 20 the year after I got married. But I did have to change my food plan because I'd been doing the food plan for so long and I had these other medical issues that had not been properly addressed. I had to tweak it. But I had the willingness to do that, to say, okay, I've been on the food plan for so long. My doctors and the dietitian have said you have to do something different. And it's under the guidelines. It was a little bit less food. And certain foods I was asked not to eat. So do I have the willingness to get that help and to look at it honestly? But also, my body has never been perfect. Never. Never. Even in the quote-unquote normal sense of perfect. You know, half one side of my body is smaller than the other. That's never going to change. I remember when I was stuck at... I was stuck at this one weight for a while, and this guy outside the meeting said to me, you're exactly where God wants you to be today. And, you know, I almost cried. And so I am where I am today. Doesn't mean I'll be that way tomorrow. that God loves me, and I'm not perfect. I never will be, and I love my body, and I wear a swimsuit. I don't care. And, you know, I was able to get married and have the low-cut wedding dress appropriately, I hope, and go swimming with a dolphin in a swimsuit and not cover up my body. I love my body. It's God's gift to me, and I'm taking care of it. And it may not be where I exactly want it to be, but that's okay. It's certainly in a lot better place than it was many years ago. And thank you for letting me share. Thank you, everybody, for the workshops. Wonderful.
Okay. Thank you, Suzanne. Next question or next share?
It's Lynn. May I share?
Sure. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Shelley, for the wonderful meeting today. I'm Lynn. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery for over 10 years, by the grace of God, maintaining a 120-pound weight release. I had this issue prior to coming in, and then recently a certain blood pressure medicine that I was taking in the beginning, I blew up a lot of weight in 1 month. But after working the steps, and I have to tell you that prayer and meditation and relaxation and not stressing on what the scale said was one of my best tools. And it's funny that this comes up today because this was my weigh date. And, you know, it's up a little bit, and I'm doing well on the food. But I said to myself before I jumped on here, I'm healthy, because I had to go back on the blood pressure medication recently, and I had been weaned off of it. So it went up a little bit. And I really believe that worry and stress for me produces like cortisol, and I hang on to things. I hang on to water weight. I hang on to weight. And, yes, outreach calls and all of, you know, just letting go. I've learned it's not about the number. It's about the journey, and basically it's about health. That's all I've got to say, Shelley. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Lynn. Anybody else?
Hi, Shelley.
Hi, this is Sheila B.
I heard ahead, somebody Lisa. Before Sheila, Lisa, and first Lisa, then Sheila B, please.
Sandy.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad that I could be on this workshop. I have two things. One question, and then I just wanted to share briefly. My question is it possible to get a copy of the prayer, the scale prayer, or I would be willing to just jot it down as somebody read it.
Maggie?
Second, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. I'll work that out with Maggie, okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The other thing is, so many people have said, my issue, I'm so glad I heard this about somebody who actually went through all the plastic surgery, but the hard thing for me is the hanging skin. I have so much of it because I'm down over 100 pounds, and I told my son that I would have to take some time off from watching my little grandchildren, because I wanted to have my arms done. But isn't it funny the things that a person thinks they just can't live with? And he said, Mom, then you're going to have like a zipper up the back of your arm. And I thought, oh, gosh. But, you know, I so identify with all that. And I love the thoughts that were shared about just relaxing, working on acceptance, working day by day. I love that idea of just day by day kind of affirming that I am just the way I need to be. So anyway, thank you so very much. I've enjoyed this immensely. And I'll pass.
Maggie, we'll talk about that, okay? Is that okay?
Absolutely. I would be happy to share this with Shelly, just to remind
everybody, it will be on the recording, so she can always listen to the recording and jot it down that way.
That's right. It's on the recording, so you can listen to the recording and jot it down.
This is Shelly P. Can I comment on something?
Sure. Go ahead, Shelly.
Thank you. Thanks for the workshop, everybody, and everyone who shared and their courage in sharing these intimate feelings and thoughts. And, you know, this is just our disease. We have a disease of negative thinking. It's a large part of our disease, so we're told. And also, you know, what I have to know is the number on the scale doesn't increase my bank account. It doesn't affect my family life, anything that's wrong with them or me. It doesn't affect my level of education. So the idea is that I have to understand what's primary and what's secondary, what I need to do and what I want to do. You know, I have an idea of what I want and how I should look and what I should weigh, and I'm in this program because it's physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. You know, I'm at a goal weight now that I was lower than high school. When I was in Weight Watchers, I had a goal weight that I picked the top of the column for my height because I was afraid I couldn't keep that weight. And now I'm like 30 pounds under that weight, you know, and that's the right weight for me. And as I've aged, I've actually lost weight because of muscle tone and all that stuff. And I do have some hanging skin as well. But you know what? Like was said, I just look at things in as much as a realistic way as I can. I can't think my way into right action. I have to act my way into right thinking. And that means working this program for me and working the 7 tools. Interacting with people, helping someone else. You know, what I know is the 12th step doesn't say, now I'm thin, wonderful, and fabulous, and go off in the sunset and have great relationships and wear wonderful clothes. Just having had a spiritual awakening as though working these steps, we carry these principles in all our affairs and help others who are what? Still suffering from this disease. So the ultimate in this disease is that we help in our recovery. For me, is that I help someone who's still suffering. And I hope that people got help with this today. Thank you. I heard you. Because this is what we're doing here. We're helping each other. That is the greatest gift of all, the love and caring of each other and ourselves. And I'll finish with that. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Shelly. Next question, please.
Hi, Shelly. This is Sheila B. Can I share? Thank you.
Sure, go ahead, honey.
Hi. Okay. I just wanted to say that for me, when I go for we go twice a year to the doctor now, and one's a wellness checkup and one is our yearly checkup. And when I went last time to my doctor, and he said to me, you with the scale. It's like that scale guides my life. And it's not healthy. I know it's not healthy because it's just not good for me. And what he said to me, and I'm in my mature years, I'm 74, going to be 74 in May, and I'm in my mature years, and he said, what's important right now with your body is that your numbers in your body are good. Your cholesterol, your blood pressure, you know, all the different things that shows up in your blood that tells if your body, how healthy your body is. And he says, that's what's important, not, you know, and I know I'm never going to be, seriously, I'm not ever going to be skinny mini. I know I never will. I think when I die, I'll be skinny mini. But anyways, but, you know, I think what I'm hearing from this whole situation today is acceptance. You know, when you said that thing about the exercise, you know, I am perfect, I'm abstinent, I'm kind, I'm beautiful and loving. And, you know, I fit that. I do fit that. I realize that. You know, I mean, and I do fit that. Yeah, maybe my body, maybe someone said, oh, you're still fat, you know, whatever. You know, but I mean, I know I fit that. And that's what I love about the program, because I can give back. If I'm abstinent, I can give back to others, you know, and I hope that when I do share that, if I help one person, I thank God, if I've helped one person, and I've heard from people that have told me that. So I'm just grateful, and thank you so much. This is absolutely wonderful, 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 wonderful workshop, and I'm so glad I'm here to obtain
all this information.
Thank you, Shelley, so much, and
you're welcome.
The others that shared. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Next person.
This is Sandy.
Hey, Sandy.
May I share?
Please.
I'm Sandy, compulsive eater. Thank you so much. Thanks for your service, everyone. And the questions are wonderful. And the opportunity to share and learn how to heal together is just amazing. I am so grateful to be in this program. I've been on medical abstinences my whole life. I'm 82, and I am so grateful that I have kept 45 pounds off my body, even though somewhere in the back of my head, I hear this little voice that says, it's not good enough. You need to lose another 20 pounds. And when I go to the doctor, he's grateful. He says to me, Sandy, just don't gain any weight. And, you know, I have all these different medical issues. I have to be on a soft diet, and I've been able to make my food plan around the How food plan. The first 10 years in program, I was in another program, and I had fat spirituality. Thank God I had a sponsor that taught me the steps and the books and took me to every meeting possible. But I didn't think I could manage my abstinence and How. And it was in How that I learned to maintain the weight loss. And so I am so grateful. It's always easy to find something wrong with myself. I can look in the mirror and go, that freckle wasn't here before. It doesn't matter. And when I wake up in the morning, I thank God that I'm awake. When I go to sleep, I thank God that I've been abstinent. I also say the serenity prayer over and over and over. I have a temper, and that's how I have to control my temper. You know, I go to work every day. I'm grateful to be able to. I live in gratitude every single day, but I also do a tremendous amount of writing. If I'm uncomfortable with myself, and because my sponsor is so patient with me, and she helps me so much. And sometimes in the past, I didn't want to bother my sponsor, or I didn't want to show my sponsor that I had weaknesses. So I pretended, but not today. Today I am so honest about everything in my life. And so we talk about everything, about our physical bodies, and I trust her. She has what I want. If I didn't have a sponsor that I didn't trust, I couldn't stay in that situation. But we are so grateful to have somebody that's willing to do service. So thank you for letting me share. And thank you, ladies and everyone. This has been a fabulous workshop.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you so much. Okay, next question.
This is me.
My name is Cheryl.
Cheryl, you were the second person. There was somebody before you. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Mickey, and I'm a food addict, compulsive overeater, and I have two comments.
Hi, Mickey.
Hi. I just want to say that there's a rule number 62 that I should never take myself so damn. Rule 62. Here it is. Let me read it. Quit taking myself so personally or something like that. I'm sure people have heard it before. I don't have to take myself so seriously. I have to have a sense of humor about everything. One of the most beautiful things that I can say about this program is that it is one day at a time, and I am where my feet are. And I'm so grateful for hearing that on today's phone bridge. for this. It's really been good. And also, people need to understand that when we're talking to younger people, that we should be very, very careful about our choices of words. Whenever I was young, people would say to me, "Wow, you're big." And, of course, I was the tallest person in every class I ever went to. But they would say I was big. They didn't say I was tall. So when I started realizing what they meant, that I was able to tell my nephews and to anybody that would listen, use words. If someone says to you, "You're big," you're allowed to say, "Do you mean I'm tall?" Because tall is one thing, big is another thing. And for all of my addictive personalities, as soon as I would hear the word big, that stuck. I don't know what I would have done if somebody said, "Yeah, you're really tall." I don't know.
1 minute.
Thank you. I just want to say that thank you so much. And rule 62 is don't take yourself so damn seriously. And I need to remind myself to keep my sense of humor, to live one day at a time, to be grateful. I am just so blown away by today, and I'm so happy that I really did some research and reached out to find out and share this information with a lot of my friends. Thanks to everybody, and I pass.
Thank you, Mickey. Cheryl, you want to go ahead, please?
This is Cheryl. I'm a compulsive eater, and I just would like to recognize and acknowledge that the culture that we live in is a very destructive and distorted culture about body image. And I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and I was a very, very tiny person when I was young. But I thought I was fat because I was told I was fat because I didn't look like the celebrities on the TV. And I didn't look like that. I had a very small body, but it was curvy. And when I went into adolescence and started, you know, developing, I saw that as fat, and I was told that I was fat. And I can look at pictures now of me when I was that age. There wasn't anything fat about me, but I thought I was fat. I carried this image all throughout my life. And I got to a point where I didn't even care anymore. I actually was rebellious about it, and of course I ate compulsively and wound up in C-How. But I wanted to acknowledge that my body image is still very distorted. And now I'm at a normal size body weight and have been maintaining that for over 2 years. But I still have to trust other people to tell me that my body size is where it's supposed to be, because my mind still sees fat. I'm an obsessive compulsive person, and that's part of my disease, and that's my body image. I have to do acceptance, and I have to trust my higher power and my sponsor and people around me to let me see that I'm a normal size, because I'm distorted. If anybody would like to speak on that, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. I will look in the mirror, and I will see fat, and I'll say, "That's not true about me." Because of all the work that I've done, there are times that I'm able to do that. And I have to tell you, I am so much better than I am now because I use the tools. I recognize the emotion in between, and I've spoken what the emotion is. I recognize it. I allow it. I investigate. I notice, and I nurture myself. And most of the time, like if I've spoken to my sisters and brothers in program, and they say they feel vulnerable, they feel not noticed, they feel invisible, they feel shame or abandonment or not good enough. But what's underneath it all? What's underneath it all? And all we all want is to be accepted and loved. And that's what I work on with myself, to love and accept myself. Because, I just keep saying that prayer, God, show me how to love me how you love me. Show me how to love me the way you love me. Or I look in my grandchildren's eyes and they see my soul. And today I work on building my soul. It's much more important than anything else. And that's what I want to say about that. Maggie or Jerry, do you want to speak to that? We have 15 minutes and I want to take the last 5 to close us down, so maybe 10 minutes. Because I want to close this down and make sure that we do a 7 tradition donation. Maggie or Jerry, anything?
This is Maggie.
Okay, Maggie.
I have some experience with that, and for you, my husband works in the television and film industry, and in the late 90s, he worked on the television show Baywatch. And the number on the scale was in the process of going up, and he would go to work every day to the beach with hot girls in bathing suits all day long, and it was driving me crazy, and I didn't know what to do about that. And what I started seeing were ads for diet pills in the newspaper. And I was in another program, the beverage program, and I talked to my sponsor about it, and I went ahead and went to the doctor and got on the diet pills because I didn't have any other way of I didn't seem to have any other way of coping with this problem, is that I was getting bigger. And not just that, but the sickness inside my head, the envy, the jealousy, you know, the anger, all of those things that we have that are associated with the diseases of addiction were growing bigger inside of my head. And what happened was, I ended up on diet pills. I ended up going, you know, I ended up becoming very addicted to the diet pills that were given to me. And I lost my sobriety in the process of this. And so what I remember, thank you, what I remember is I remember those moments of when I was so insane and I didn't have to. Thank you, Susie. I didn't have any other way of coping with this besides turning to another disease that the dysmorphia with me was, you know, and I want to say my husband never came home and said, gosh, I wish you looked like Pamela Anderson. Never once. This was all self-created within me, and so I look at that today you know, my mental health is good. I'm on most days happy with how my body functions, and I just want to tell that story. That insanity led me down a road of delusion and paranoia, and so to work every tool that I have in this program, including a workshop, including a phone bridge workshop or a workshop at the convention, whatever it may be, to let me know that I'm not alone in these thoughts. Thank you. I'll pass.
Jerry, did you want to, thank you, Maggie. Jerry, did you want to speak to that?
Oh, I can pass on this one. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, next question. Thank you so much. Anybody else?
Shelley, this is Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Can you hear me okay? I'm on a speakerphone.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay,
I can hear you. Mm-hmm.
It's not a question. It's a kind of a comment, really, from the anorexic side of the disease. Would that be appropriate?
Yes, I'll speak to that, too. I had it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yes, so I'm Catherine, and I'm a grateful recovering anorexic and bulimic compulsive eater in CEA Howe. And I was very grateful that I have heard some, well, I'm grateful for all that I've heard, but I did hear some reference to this kind of a line that can get crossed from recovery, where recovery from overeating or compulsive eating stops, and then the descent into anorexia begins. And I just wanted to say something about the weird, that dysmorphia that happens on that lower scale, because I do speak to people that sponsor anorexia as well as wonder if they're in that place themselves. And so the signature for me of when it goes into anorexic dysmorphia is what I heard about today. It is about where the fat head and the body are not working together right. When they look in the mirror, they still think that there's not overweight going on, even though the reflection in the mirror is slim and thin, and maybe even underweight. And that there's something that happens after that for me, in my experience and in sponsoring anorexia here, is that there's a kind of self, after the fat thin head sort of seems to get lined up, that the right size head is on the right size body, seeing reality. But then there's this really awful self-righteousness that comes in, which is kind of talking that goes with that, is things like, oh, everybody's very jealous of me in my See How meeting because they want to be as thin as me, or that sort of that kind of stuff. And then the most extreme that I've come across is I had a sponsee who was giving me the numbers every day as we're required to do, and she stopped giving me the number. And I would ask her, why are you not giving me the number anymore of your weight? And she would say to me, because it's staying the same. My weight is staying the same. And for 2 or 3 weeks, I let that go with the support of my sponsor. And then I knew something was very wrong. And her thing was she stopped going to her face-to-face See How meetings because...
1 minute.
Thank you. Because everybody was so jealous of her thinness that she couldn't stand the looks. And then I asked her about the weight that she had to give a number again. And this is what I heard from our disease at the bottom end. She was no longer using the scale because what she used as her weekly weigh-in was her husband's hands around her waist, and as long as the two index fingers touched and the two thumbs touched of his around her waist, then she would report to me that her weight was staying the same. So that's the insanity of our disease on the lower end. And as long as I'm in this program, I'm working the food plan. I do choose to have a medical food plan with my medical providers. And as long as I'm making my outreach calls, doing all of the tools, I'm going to be fine. I do use literature for the anorexic fellowship, but I do not. I work my program here because I need to have weight and measured food plan. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you, Catherine, so much, so much. Okay, go ahead, ask that one question, and then I've got to wrap it up. Go ahead. You can have 1 minute, please.
Oh, thank you. Catherine here, compulsive eater. I'll be brief. And okay. I've been kind of around goal weight for some years, bar a relapse. But my question is, what's the experience on, for me, I get to within like about 1 or 2 pounds literally of my goal weight. And then it just triggers a slip or a relapse because I feel suddenly so exposed and vulnerable and naked, and I can't bear it. And I just wondered what was the experience, strength, and hope on getting to goal weight and handling the emotions around that. Thank you.
In the past, when I really wasn't working the program, that would happen to me. I would get to goal weight, and then I would feel very, very invisible, and I would be scared because I used the weight to protect myself. And until I worked a disciplined and structured approach, I could not stay abstinent and maintain my goal weight. And on that note, Maggie or Jerry, do you want to say anything briefly about that? Because I've got to close us down here. We're getting close to noon. anything?
This is Jerry, and I'll just say briefly that, you know, when my food is okay and my food is weighed and measured and then, you know, everything is in order, then, you know, everything else falls into place. And so on that point, as I, you know, have worked through the program and passed the first 30 days and it came time for me to add food, after that first 30 days, I was very hesitant. And once I was able to get, you know, to acceptance of that I could add something, you know, that really helped me a lot to you know, just kind of make those baby steps. So I don't know if that's helpful, but it's kind of like, just accepting where you are today. And I don't know if that answers the question, but that's what came to mind, you know, and having those boundaries and being, knowing that it's safe to go to the next step. So hope that's helpful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jerry. We're going to go over a little bit, but Maggie, did you want to address it? And then I'll move on to the seven traditions.
I'll pass, but I identified with that share, but I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Anyways, I want to remind all of you this is an informative and educational workshop in line with the CA HOW program. And I want to talk about our seven tradition. Our group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. So if you go to ceahowphonebridge.org and you scroll down to meetings and then scroll down to PhoneBridge, you'll see Suzanne, do you want to walk them through that, through this, please?
Yeah, it's cahow.org. And
okay,
then you
go
to meetings. Yeah, you said phonebridge.org. But cahow.org, and you go to meetings, and you go to PhoneBridge, and at the bottom of the PhoneBridge page, there's information on how to send in a check and the PayPal account as well. And that's how you, and it, there, all the instructions are there to do that.
Thank you so much. Anyways, I want to thank everybody. I especially want to thank the women and all of you for, we all got to learn and grow and change together this beautiful workshop. So I want to thank Maggie, and I want to thank Jerry, and thank you, Susie. We couldn't have done this without you. And I just want to close with this. I wish you well. May you be safe and protected from danger. May you be happy and peaceful. May you be healthy and strong. May you be at ease. May you be free from stress and anxiety. May you have joy, well-being. And let's send out love, compassion, and kindness to our world and to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And now would you all unmute, and if you wish to, join me in the Serenity Prayer.
God,
thank you all so much.
Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, everyone.
Welcome.
Thanks, everybody.